Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, you're about to get smarter in just a few minutes with Curiosity Daily from Discovery. Time flies when you're learning super cool stuff. I'm Nate.
And I'm Callie. If you're dropping in for the first time, welcome to Curiosity, where we aim to blow your mind by helping you to grow your mind. If you're a loyal listener, welcome back.
Today, you'll learn about a medication that can successfully treat frostbite, the study of blood splatter in space, and a surprising finding about the supposed benefits of small class sizes.
Without further ado, let's satisfy some curiosity. The United States Food and Drug Administration has approved a drug called iloprast, which does something pretty amazing. It's the first drug we've approved that can successfully treat frostbite.
A drug that treats frostbite? Okay. I mean, so I clearly don't know enough about frostbite because I would just assume the best treatment would be to warm up.
All right. Well, interestingly enough, sometimes warming up can lead to more problems. So before I tell you what this medication does, we should talk about frostbite. We've all probably seen images of mountain climbers high up on snow peaks staring down at the earth below with like icicles on their eyelashes, right? But for those explorers, frostbite is a constant concern.
Right. I know it can lead to amputations and nerve damage, all sorts of problems. So obviously, if a drug can treat it, it's not just a matter of being frozen through.
Not exactly, but sort of. Frostbite is our body's reaction to experiencing those prolonged cold temperatures. You often see it in the extremities, our fingers and toes, noses, ears, cheeks, places that don't take so long to freeze. Once the surface of our skin reaches 0 degrees Celsius, the problems start compiling. First, ice crystals will form within the cells, causing cellular damage and dehydration. Once this happens, your extremities start to go numb.
Which is one of the first real signs of trouble, right?
Yep, and after that, the real trouble actually starts. Blood vessels begin to constrict in our extremities as a way to preserve our core body temperature.
So it's like our bodies are sacrificing the least important parts to save the most important parts.
Exactly. But as the temperatures drop, the lack of blood flow leads to blood clots and vascular damage, which can leave those extremities starved for oxygen.
And a lack of oxygen, I know, can lead to necrosis, right? Basically the death of those tissues.
That is exactly what happens. The fingers, the toes, all of those parts that are vulnerable start seeing gangrene. If treatment doesn't come fast enough, you're looking at amputations and permanent nerve damage, and that's where iloprast comes in.
So if I had to guess, I'd say it must help the blood get moving again.
Mm-hmm. It dilates the blood vessels, improving blood supply, essentially reviving the affected tissues. It's a huge thing because in some cases, one of the immediate treatments is to actually cut the sympathetic nerves to get the blood vessels opened up again.
So this drug eliminates the need for that kind of surgery.
Yeah, none of the patients this was tested on had to undergo amputations. None of them. There is no other medication that can claim that kind of success. And the thing is, the initial testing on iloprast began decades ago, but only now is it finding approval in the United States.
All right. How was it taken?
It's given intravenously over time with the dosage adjusted as conditions evolve. And mountain climbers aren't the only folks who can stand to benefit. Unhoused populations are also highly at risk. And the lasting effects of nerve damage and potential amputations can really compound their problems. So this FDA approval is highly welcomed.
A new study is highlighting the challenges of doing CSI work in space.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the challenges humans face in our future in space. I mean, everything from growing food to storing food to understanding how our body systems know which way is up. But doing crime scene investigations was not on my space travel challenge bingo card.
I know, it sounds like the premise of a futuristic crime noir film, but the fact is, humanity is very earnestly looking to expand our frontiers into space. And wherever humans go, accidents and, sadly, crime tend to follow.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. I'm not totally sure I understand what is so different about investigating crime in space. I mean, there's no gravity, I guess, but you're still just looking for clues, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But in zero gravity, the clues don't line up the same way they do on Earth. And the prime example and the focus of this new study is on bloodstain pattern analysis, or BPA.
Oh, okay. So that is the quintessential CSI clue. Analyzing the bloodstain patterns can tell you a lot, like where the victim was standing when the injury took place, what kind of weapon caused it, and like even some details about the person who did it.
Okay, someone's up on their crime dramas, been watching.
I like them.
Yeah, all right, that's good. So traditional bloodstain pattern analysis takes into account a few different factors, like the angle of impact, the area of convergence, and the origin of the bloodstains to paint a picture of the events leading up to the, well, the bigger event. So those metrics all assume that the blood follows the physics of earthly gravity.
I mean, yeah, can't even begin to imagine how you'd piece together that information when gravity isn't a factor. It kind of just feels like it'd be chaos.
Well, there are pretty significant physiological changes that happen in microgravity, which not only affects where the blood goes once it leaves the body, it also affects how the blood itself behaves. For example, outside the body, blood forms little liquid domes around wounds, and droplets become little globules.
So you've convinced me that there seems to be a need to study outer space crime scene forensics. But how did they conduct this study, or do I actually want to know?
Well, if you're worried if they just sent someone into space and stabbed them, no. No, this is the best part. They actually conducted the study aboard a parabolic flight.
Wait, they used the Vomit Comet?
Yes. So it's that plane that goes up really high and then dives. And then during the dive, microgravity is simulated. They use these flights to film movie scenes set in outer space, and it looks pretty awesome. So for the study, they used a fluid that acted like blood, and looked like blood for what it's worth, and simulated blood stains using a target surface and a syringe. And they recorded the whole thing with a 4K action camera so they could home in on the results.
And what did they find?
Well, they compared the blood stains to others that they created under similar circumstances and at similar angles, but in gravity, and found that in microgravity, the surface tensions become the dominant force that influences the shape and size of blood droplets and stains.
I mean, surface tension is the force that keeps the droplets in the shape of orbs, right?
Yes, and that is in contrast with the force of gravity, which is the primary factor for bloodstain patterns on Earth. So what all this means basically is that if future space detectives want to solve crimes, they need to fairly dramatically revise their methods.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So often, when we hear about the challenging state of education these days, we immediately have an image in our mind of a crowded classroom just full of chaos.
Sure. The old truism is that there are too many students and not enough teachers. The idea is that we should be pushing for smaller class sizes and more even student-to-teacher ratios, right?
Well, yeah, not all truisms are true. Case in point, a new study published in the International Journal of Science Education suggests that smaller class sizes might actually hurt academic performance more than it helps.
Oh, so exactly the opposite of conventional wisdom?
You could say that. The researchers wanted to see exactly how class size and the quantity and quality of the teaching staff figured into student resiliency.
Okay, how did they define resilience?
That's a great question. It's basically the ability of students to overcome adversity and succeed in school. You could call it student success, but that's a very limited view because some students can have success because they lack adversity. This team wanted to know, all things considered, how do we get students to overcome adversity to achieve great things?
Got it. And the typical sort of common answer is to give them more one-on-one attention and actually remove adversity.
But not so much. They looked at over 2,700 disadvantaged high school students in China and Japan in classes with as few as 15 students and some with over 50. They found that the smaller class sizes had no positive impact for the most part and sometimes even reduced resilience in some cases.
But were kids more resilient in larger classes?
In larger classes, yeah. Certain contexts of larger classes seem to benefit students' odds of achieving higher grades. But the biggest factor in determining student resilience was good teachers. In fact, they found that one good teacher in a large class is better than several average or ineffective teachers in a small class.
So it's really turning what we thought we knew about education on its head, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Clearly, the study has some shortcomings. It's a smallish sample size, and the students were isolated in only two locations. And other factors came into play as well, like the importance of classroom management.
You mean like discipline?
Yeah, exactly. Discipline and classroom management can mean different things in different places, but that also comes down to teacher quality. The researchers suggest that rather than spending resources on shrinking class size, the money should go towards training and hiring really good teachers.
If I'm being honest, I don't remember the sizes of most of my high school classes, but I'll never forget some of the teachers who had an amazing impact on my life.
Agreed. But I was homeschooled, so...
Let's recap what we learned today to wrap up.
The U.S. FDA has approved a drug called iloprast as the first medication to treat severe frostbite, promising to drastically reduce amputations for sufferers.
A new study conducted aboard a parabolic flight examined bloodstain patterns in microgravity, paving the way for solving crimes in space.
Reducing class sizes doesn't bolster the academic resilience of disadvantaged students. Instead, the key to student success lies in the quality of their teachers.
Curiosity Daily is produced by Wheelhouse DNA for Discovery.
You can follow our show wherever you get your podcasts, and we would love it if you could take a second to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.